welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm your host, Jason Logan, tuning into the One a Week Wednesday edition of the podcast, where we're going to go a little off the betting path for this episode. We're going to talk NBA bets for Wednesday. We're going to have Arthur from the Super Bowl come on and dish all the goodies from Las Vegas. But we're also going to dip our toes into one of the biggest non-sports betting markets out there. We're talking about the Academy Awards. They hand out the hardware this Sunday. And it's always an interesting market and a pretty widespread interest in this too. You can sit down with your missus, watch the Oscars, make some bets, you know, take some flicks in, all that good stuff. With me as always here behind the scenes on the 600 is my producer, Del. Del, have you seen any of these Oscar nominated flicks? Have you seen any good ones? Any favorites?
Honestly, I'm going to be brutally honest. I don't even know what's nominated. I've been so out of the loop. I've been focusing on the NBA right now, and that's been my number one focus. But what's supposed to win the main award there? What's supposed to win Best Film?
The one that's been killing it was the Everything Everywhere All at Once. I haven't seen it yet. I think it's on like Prime, so maybe I'll have to check that out. I know Top Gun Maverick is nominated for Best Picture. I saw that a couple times. That was pretty badass. So I mean, if there's an award out there for badassery, then go ahead, Tom Cruise, go collect your hardware. But outside of everything else, man, I got kids, so I mean, if it's not animated or superheroes, it's tough for me to go see it. So
yeah, I saw Creed 3 last night. It's actually pretty good. I would recommend you go see it. So I love going to the movies, as we've mentioned in earlier episodes earlier in the year during the football season. Love hitting the theaters. Yep. But yeah, Creed 3, highly recommend.
And how was the popcorn? I know you're a popcorn guy.
Loved it. Loved it.
All right. Exactly. Before we start the podcast here, we ask that if you got a second, please rate and review the Sharp 600, provide some feedback, let us know what you like, let us know what you don't, let us know what movies you're checking out. Much appreciated. It allows us to expand our reach and our audience. And with that said, on with the show.
I feel like I'm in Highlander.
What's the Highlander?
It's a movie.
Any good?
Very good.
It won the Academy Award.
All right, when he's not behind the editor's desk making me look good here at Covers, he's watching movies and giving you his two cents. He's a former film journalist, but a full-time cinephile and a big daddy as well, too. Jason Wilson making his Sharp 600 debut. We're going to talk Oscars betting and Oscars odds with the show this Sunday. Now, the two major categories, Best Picture, Best Director, basically look like locks for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Minus 1100 for picture, the two Daniels, the directors, minus 1200 to win Best Director. Any value in any other flyer down the board here? Is this just one of these markets that you don't want to bet into right now?
Well, it's not always a lock when you have a Best Picture favorite, Runaway, is going to also take director. I mean, look at last year, around this time of year, Coda was under the radar for most of the year, kind of like Everything Everywhere All at Once was for half of last year, mm-hmm. and it won Best Picture and Best Supporting Actor, the only two awards it was nominated for and the only two it won. Everything Everywhere All at Once is a bit more of a powerhouse, but and it will win Best Picture. I wouldn't take anything below it because there's just no sense.
Yeah.
Director, however, I do think there is some value in Steven Spielberg. I believe he is at plus 600. He won the Golden Globe for Best Director, so it's not like the Daniels took a clean sweep. He is a legacy pick for the Academy Awards, and he hasn't won for a long time. Saving Private Ryan was his last Best Director award, I believe. And this is his most personal film he's ever made. And
so that's like getting Michael Jordan plus 600.
That's right. And he was the Fabelmans was the running favorite out of the Toronto International Film Festival, and then bad box office kind of torpedoed its Best Picture hopes a bit. And everyone loves Everything Everywhere All at Once. So, but if you're looking for anything in director down the board, it's got to be Spielberg. Todd Field would be an interesting real dark horse, but I don't think Tar has many legs except in one specific category.
All right. I can get behind Spielberg at plus 600. Brandon Fraser, odds on fave to win Best Actor for The Whale, minus 190. He's been getting a ton of love, a ton of hardware here during kind of the ramp up to the Academy Awards. Austin Butler and Elvis, which is a movie that I did actually watch, looks like the only contender, plus 135. Is this really Encino Man's award to lose?
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting category, though. So it is his award to lose, but I don't think it's a lock by any stretch of the imagination. And I don't think Butler is necessarily the one who's going to unseat him. Mm-hmm. Now, The Whale is a polarizing movie across the board. A lot of people don't love the movie, but love him in it. And that is really what the whole story in miniature here. He's one of the only nominees for the movie itself. But I think Colin Farrell from Banshees of Inisherin is in a similar legacy type position, very well liked mm-hmm. in the industry, has never been rewarded for his performances. And he's at a plus 1200 for a movie that was very well received critically. And despite its downbeaten tone, it's still also very funny, and he's very funny in it. It wouldn't be a shocker if he were to pull off the upset there, especially if there's a split vote in terms of how they do the preferential balloting. If a lot of people have him as the number one choice or number two choice, that could actually be in his favor.
All right. He's up there on the board too. Mm. Best actress, kind of see similar pricing. You got Michelle Yeoh minus 140. But I know that this is one that you have a stake in here with Kate Blanchett. And I think you even tossed it into the chat, the editorial chat a few months back. She went on to win the Golden Globe and the BAFTA as well. But then Yao came out with the Screen Actors Guild Award. Is Blanchett still a good bet here at even money?
I don't love the even money now. When I made the bet in early December, it was plus 150, which I thought was ludicrous at the time. And my thought process with Everything Everywhere All at Once is that it would do a lot of the technical categories. It would win Best Picture, potentially. I didn't think Yao had a real shot, but there's a groundswell of support, and she is so well-beloved. And it is a very good performance for what would, I think, in years past, when the Academy was smaller and less diverse, would have been considered kind of a maybe a junky part. But it's way more than that. I think that plays in her favor. That said, Kate Blanchett is the movie tar, and that movie doesn't work without her. And she has a ton of support on the awards scene, as we've seen. So it's not out of the realm of possibility, but I would way rather have had her at the plus 150. I got her back in December. I probably wouldn't put anything on even money, especially with how things have gone in recent awards.
All right. Best supporting actor, not as cut and dry as, or not as cut and dry as some, or is very cut and dry, sorry.
Yeah.
Compared to some of these books, say that Kaye Kwong is going to win minus 5,000 odds. So we're not even going to talk about this one. But best supporting actress, a little more spread around. You got Jamie Lee Curtis plus 125, Angela Bassett plus 130, and then Carrie Condon plus 225. Can the lesser known Condon upset those two Hollywood heavyweights?
If it was my vote, yeah, she's great in that movie. She's, I thought, the best of this bunch, with one exception who also isn't in the top two. Angela Bassett, I think, wins this, even though Jamie Lee Curtis is getting a lot of recognition of late. She's campaigned a lot. You know, Jamie Lee Curtis has been very visible this awards season. Condon could win. Again, similar to Colin Farrell, a lot of people like that movie. A lot of people like her. She's very good in it. Also, two other actors from Banshees of Inisherin are nominated in supporting actor, Barry Keoghan and Brendan Gleeson. They don't stand a chance. Very good performances, too. But Kaye Kwong is winning that, as we said. Condon could win, but it seems extremely unlikely, and I'd want longer odds, to be perfectly honest, if I wager anything on her. Bassett, I think, is the one who ultimately wins. I don't really know why she's like further down than Curtis, despite the recent support for Jamie Lee. My problem there is I think the Jamie Lee Curtis part in Everything Everywhere All at Once is kind of a nothing burger. I don't understand the hype behind that one. She's good, she's fine, but if you're going to give it to one of the supporting actresses in that movie, Stephanie Hsu is the glue of that movie. So I don't know. I don't know why Jamie Lee Curtis is getting more hype than her.
Yeah, and Bassett absolutely stole the show in Wakanda Forever. Again, one of the movies that I got to watch because my kids will let me watch superhero movies, right? So,
well, and in the wake of Chadwick Boseman's death, like you talk about glue, like that, like she is that movie. So I think in the heart and soul of it. So I think ultimately she wins.
All right. So many other categories have some lopsided odds, especially once we get to the kind of end of award season. We usually, like you said, you're placing some bets in December. We're getting through award season. The odds kind of tighten up. Any less traveled markets out there that still hold value on the board, or could there be a sleeper to come up big in some of these lesser known categories?
Yeah, I think I'm looking at the screenplay categories more than anything. Like editing, I think it goes to Everything Everywhere, and it's a extreme favorite there too. It's also favored in original screenplay. I think Banshees of Inisherin. I don't think Banshees of Inisherin is coming away empty handed. I could see Colin Farrell losing. I could see Kerry Condon losing. I don't think Martin McDonagh loses for original screenplay. And he can get it at plus money, not crazy odds, but it's available plus money at this point, and it is an incredible screenplay. But on adapted, the real wild card is, and it's kind of derided for its inclusion, is Top Gun Maverick. But it is extremely hard to write a tight and believable action screenplay. And that movie does everything it needs to do. And I think it has a lot of support within the industry as well. It's basically been touted as saving cinema last summer at the box office. I don't know if I would put a lot on that, but it is an interesting wild card, a maverick choice, as it were.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Had to be done.
I saw it twice, so it got my money. So
it's one of those things. It's like it's going to win like the technical awards. It's going to get like or it should. Well, except Avatar probably wins visual effects in a walk, which is why I'm not trying to take any of the spoilers in that category.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't be surprised if it took a adapted screenplay. I still think Women Talking, the Sarah Polley film, wins that. But that is a that has kind of disappeared during the awards race. So if there's going to be something that kind of goes against the odds, I would say maybe Top Gun Maverick in adaptive screenplay. Also, it's ridiculous that it's an adaptive screenplay because the Academy Award rules state any sequel can only be nominated for adapted.
I guess. Yeah, you're building on something else. Yeah.
The Academy's
got some funny rules. So outside of the funny rules, outside of the Academy darlings here, we're going to talk about the bottom of the barrel. We're going to talk about the Golden Raspberry Awards, a.k.a. the Razzies. These guys dish out the booby prizes to the worst movies out there on Saturday before the Oscars. Morbius, which unfortunately I did have to sit through. Like I said, I have kids who love comic books. That is the front runner for worst picture at +125, ahead of the Marilyn Monroe biopic Blonde +138. Is it Morbin time for everyone if they're betting the Razzies here?
Yeah. I mean, look, Blonde has been a punching bag by critics and audiences alike as well. And for good reason. It's like just misery under the guise of art. However, I think Morbius is, if the Razzies don't go with Morbius, it's a ridiculous end game, because we're in a point where we're maybe seeing a dip in societal interest in superhero movies.
The
box office is going down. Look at Quantumania. Its second weekend had the biggest drop of any Marvel movie. And reviews and word of mouth has been less kind, even among the diehards who never say a negative thing about those movies. So Morbius, just to me, like, if they're going to be relevant, if the Razzies are going to be relevant, and they aren't a lot of the time, it's got to be Morbius, because that is shows the finger on the pulse of what might be a dip or dying genre. Maybe not dying. Maybe that's putting too fine a point on it. But Morbius is certainly the nadir.
Yeah, it was the whole post-credit nonsense too. And it was somehow tied into Spider-Man. It was just an absolute mess. And crazy enough, though, because the movie, they had enough time to edit it and get something out of it, because it was supposed to come out pre-pandemic, I believe. Yeah. And then it just kind of sat in the slow cooker too long. I believe that's the way it goes. But I agree with you, where the comic book movies have kind of lost their shine a bit. And I'm a big Marvel guy and was a big comic book kid growing up and really, really loved all the Marvel movies, and we go to every single one and it's like a family event. But I will say, like, Quantumania was okay. Black Panther 2 has grown a lot on me since I've saw it in the theater. But I have been somewhat unimpressed with the Marvel offerings really since Endgame. So maybe that's jumping the shark type thing, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, and the last Spider-Man movie made a ton of money, so like it's hard to say 100% where it's going. I also did not like that movie very much. I'm an outlier on that.
I had a 7-year-old that wants to punch you in the gut because of that statement.
That's fine. I'll accept that. Yeah.
Well, I enjoyed that one. All right. So before we go, one of the longest running odds markets out there in terms of sports betting, non-sports betting, and it's been on the board since 2006. And it's something that I've been watching my entire career at Covers, which spans 18 years here, is actor to play next James Bond. And I've been the biggest Idris Elba guy for this, and it seemed like he was perfect for the part, and he still is the guy for me. However, he says he's out of the running. He's not going to do it. Daniel Craig has hung up his martini glass. Yeah. Who do you got playing the next James Bond?
Well, at first, I just want to say, like, it is a shame that Idris Elba is
not. He's been amazing in it.
Yeah. Perfect. Would have been perfect in place of Craig. Like, yeah. It would have been the right age, would have been perfect. Even without his statement, though, saying he wouldn't do it, they're going in a younger direction, or it seems like they want to, the producers of the Bond franchise, mm-hmm. which is really unfortunate for a guy like Henry Cavill, who was passed over for Craig because he was too young. And now it looks like he's going to be passed over because he is too old at 39. Right now, I see the favorites as like Aaron Taylor Johnson, you know, from Kick-Ass. He's like 32 or so. Maybe it's my own personal bias. I don't really like him as an actor. That I'm not going with him, even though he's the betting favorite. Where I am going, I think Jack Loudon at plus 1400 odds is what I could find for him to take the role. He's a lower profile. He's an Irish actor. More of an unknown to the masses, though he's got some fire to him. I do like them going a route of, you know, the lesser known name to the mainstream.
And they kind of did that with Daniel Craig too. Like he was not, obviously he's blown up, but he wasn't a super mainstream guy as well either.
Was a known quantity in some circles. I mean, he did the movie Layer Cake with Matthew Vaughn, which is kind of like, you know, a Snatch adjacent type movie. And that got him, I think that got him the Casino Royale gig cemented into that. A real dark horse I like right now is Paul Mescal, who was just nominated for Best Actor at the Academy Awards for After Sun. That he is a guy whose star is on the rise very quickly right now. And he's a big guy. And I could see him kind of turning in that, sad Bond type performance. And he is younger. He's in his 20s. He could potentially play that role for 20 years. So if they really want to go someone long-term and someone who's got a little juice to him, he's at plus 2,200 last I checked.
Nice. All right. So Jason Wilson talking Oscars, talking Razzies, talking next James Bond. There's some plus money winners still out there to be had, you believe, for the Academy Awards.
Yeah, it does look like in a way it might be a very chalky Oscars, but there are always some surprises. So you just have to pick your spots. And I think Spielberg is probably the best of those at plus 600 for director.
All right, you can. Yeah, the Michael Jordan of filmmaking. We're going to take him at plus 600. All right, Jason Wilson, get your popcorn ready. Enjoy the Oscars, buddy.
Cheers.
All right, before we start the two-minute drill with Arthur de Cesar of the Superbook, a couple NBA bets that I got on the go for Wednesday night. I took Phoenix minus 12.5 against OKC. This one has jumped up to minus 13.5. The spread for this was all wrong. Now, we saw the Thunder in a similar spot in Phoenix late last month. It was the second of back-to-back games. No Gilgeous Alexander visiting the Suns, who did not have Kevin Durant at the time. And that one closed at 9. This game here, OKC, second of back-to-back again. No SGA, no Jalen Williams as well. But Durant looking pretty good, damn good for the Suns. This one opened at 11 and has moved all the way up to 13.5. I still think it's good on the other side of 13.5. I think they're selling the sun short here. They looked fantastic on the weekend. So laying the lumber with Phoenix. I took Cleveland's Donovan Mitchell to go over 4.5 assists, plus 116 on this one. Miami, one of the best defenses out there. And what do they love to do? They love to double team and throw the kitchen sink at guys. And that's what they're going to do to the Spider here, much like they did last time when they played Cleveland. Mitchell finished with 16 points in that game, a down night. But he had 9 assists as they pressured him and forced him to get rid of the basketball. He's going to have to do the same thing here. I like his over 4.5. On the assist total, I like Celtics veteran big man Al Horford to go over 1.5 three-pointers made against Portland. Horford averaging 3.6 triples per game in his last 8 outings. And Boston head coach Joe Mazzulla wants his team taking more shots from outside. It's something that he preached when they started slow after the All-Star break, and they've done that. They've launched up a ton of threes in the past 2 games. A high total for this game, a bad Blazers defense, and Horford with fresh legs after sitting out the second of back-to-backs still has that hot hand. I like him to hit 2 or more three-pointers tonight. And you're not going to like this one, Dell. Give me Paul George to keep the points coming against your Toronto Raptors, over 23.5. George has thrived in this Clippers' new up-tempo offense. He's averaged more than 27 points per game since the All-Star break. The Raps, a team that like to get out and run. They'll turn around and push with you as well, too. They like to run in transition. They like to score fast break points. I think they turn this one into a track meet. That's fine by PG standards. I like him to go over his point prop for the 6th time in the past 7 games. 2-minute drill time with Arthur DeCesar of the Las Vegas Superbook. Major conference tournaments underway this week. Which conference tournament futures hold the most liability for you guys, and any sleepers that have drawn action to upset their conference postseason so far?
So, Jason, it's always the big boys, the big boy tournaments, you know, SEC, Pac-12, Big Ten, SEC. Those are always the tournaments that take the most action. 3 big ones we want to avoid: Marquette in the Big East, Michigan State in the Big Ten, TCU in the Big 12.
All right, so talk about the difference between booking conference tournaments this week versus the NCAA tournament.
This week, the lines are super sharp and the bettors are super sharp. Next week, it's all about the public. So it's really a pros versus Joes week-to-week type deal.
All right, cool. So we're all going to be filling out brackets this Sunday. You got any Cinderellas to watch out for us?
I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I think Miami, Florida is a team that you got to keep your eye on. And a team that they're not a Cinderella, but they've drawn a lot of action over the last 2 weeks. Gonzaga, they were 20-1, now 12-1 for Gonzaga.
All right. NFL Combine is done and the draft is coming up next month. How big do you guys go in terms of your draft props? And how big is this thing becoming as an offseason market?
It's definitely becoming bigger and bigger. Last year when we had it in Vegas, we offered more props in the NFL draft than we ever have. I think this year we will offer even more. I think it is a market that grows and grows and grows with each year. I remember getting into the industry, there were no draft props.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yep. So some interesting stories since the All-Star break. You got the Celtics stumbling. Durant looks good. Luka and Irving maybe not working out. You got Morant's whole gun mess. Where's the action been on the title or the East-West odds here as we get into past the All-Star break?
The biggest thing for us is Phoenix Suns. We need to avoid them at all costs. I mean, we really want to avoid the Suns. So Western Conference and championship.
Yeah, they look pretty damn good on the weekend too against the Mavs. I know the horn went, but we got a couple more questions here. Oscars this weekend, not prohibited to take wagers in Nevada. There are some states that do allow it. How big would something like the Academy Awards be for you guys in terms of handle? And then how important would it be the non-sports betting markets? How help would it kind of expand the sports books' reach to, you know, beyond sports fans?
Yeah, Oscars, it's funny. It's something that, you know, in my time in the industry, I've always been asked about. You know, we used to get asked on like Survivor or Game of Thrones or things of that nature. But the one that would be the biggest thing and would take Super Bowl handle is the presidential election.
Oh, yeah.
If we ever offer that, it would be enormous.
All right. And we got to get you a best bet for Wednesday night. Anything that's out there. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm taking a game in the Mountain West Conference Tournament. I'm taking Air Force plus 6.5 against the hometown Rebels of UNLV.
Are you going to that game?
No, I will be at work. But I will go to some of these games. Don't get me wrong.
I love Vegas. Is an awesome spot for college hoops here in March, man. Tons of tournaments coming to town.
The best. We got like 5 or 6 of them. It's an awesome week to be here.
It is. All right. So that is it for this edition of the Sharp 600. Thank you, Jay Will. Thank you, Arthur. Thank you, Dell, and thank you for listening. Next week, we're going to go full bore into the madness that is March, NCAA tournament time. We're going to get you ready to run the bracket, get those bets, and a reminder, too, please rate and review the Sharp 600 podcast. When you get a moment, we will talk to you next Wednesday. Until then, good luck.